Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
Listen, I'm telling you, our show, our, listen, this show today, when it comes to the power of football and life, we got it. Listen, it ain't going to be a bigger show tonight than what we're giving you. The guests I have that are coming on my show, I know them very well. Played with one, trained one, and have gotten to know one. Listen, Chris Powell is going to be joining the show, and we're going to get into one of the most touching things when it comes to the NFL and how they're trying to combat this, how they're trying to combat it at college level, how they're trying to combat it at the high school level. When it comes to sports and it comes to within the last 15 to 20 years, man, it's been crazy. But we also, listen, when it say sports and life mirror each other, they do mirror each other. They mirror each other like no other. My main man, listen, when I say this dude here is going to give it to us in the way we need to be giving it to him, we're going to get into Nevin Shapiro is joining the show. But before we do that, play the soundbite. Play the soundbite for me, and it's going to get into where we're at now and how Nevin Shapiro will be joining the show. In the B block of this show. Thomas, go ahead and play that soundbite.
Nevin had an uncanny ability to take the smallest grain of truth and build an elaborate story around it to the point where even if I knew what that grain of truth was, by the end of his story, I was confused as to what was true or not true.
Nevin was extremely charismatic, and he was very, very good at talking to people on a personal level. He was the type of guy who could charm himself out of almost any tight spot that he would find himself in.
There was always, within the athletic department, even outside, what does this guy do?
He told me he sold glass windows for skyscrapers.
What he would tell investors is that he would...
Listen, guys, as you heard, he was the man when it came to the U. He was that. He was the U. Man, listen, you can't say no more. But now, before then, listen, my guy, block for me when it comes to me being able to accomplish what I have accomplished at the University of Kansas. I couldn't have done it without my main man, Chris Powell. He's joining the show today. The only guy, the first guy to ever sue the NCAA for the concussions. Chris Powell is joining the show. What's going on, Chris? What's happening, man?
Nothing. Everything's going good. It's a beautiful day in Kansas City, and it's looking like it's going to get to 60 and 70 degrees next week. It's hot, but it's good.
Now, you say it's beautiful in Kansas City, but then you say next week it looks like it's going to get 69. When we talk about 69 here in South Florida, and listen, we got to be careful when we're saying the word 69 with the way this show going, because there's a lot of things that's happening. Listen, you're going to be in the 60s. Listen, Chris.
Yeah.
I want to show you a sound that we pulled up. And also joining the show is my main man, Mo Love, is joining the show. He's going to be, listen, giving it to us. We're going to talk sports and life. But I want to play the soundbite. Thomas, go ahead and play that Elijah Moore soundbite. Play me that soundbite first, Chris. I want to open up my audience to what we're getting ready to dive into when it comes to the concussion situation that is playing out throughout football world. Play that soundbite.
went down tonight with a scary traumatic brain injury or concussion that led to an immediate post-traumatic seizure. Let's break this down with an intention to raise awareness for seizure safety. The injury occurs when the front of Moore's helmet is driven into the ground. This jarring causes physical damage to brain tissue, leading to stretching and tearing of neuronal structures, and sometimes can include blood vessels. This triggers an uncontrollable depolarization or firing and release of excitatory neurotransmitters throughout the brain. This surge of electricity is causing the output we see with Moore's arm muscles tremoring in this clonic pattern.
Now, Chris, we look at that situation, and without, you know, getting into it, I want you to introduce yourself to my audience throughout the nation here in South Florida. Introduce yourself to my audience.
My name's Chris Powell. Been born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. I was very fortunate and grateful to be able to play on the football field with Tony Sands when Glenn Mason recruited me to the University of Kansas. And, you know, I was a blocking fullback, and so there's a lot of collisions, tons of them. And I had a couple concussions, and I wore the extra Mark Kelto helmet because if I had three concussions, and they said if I had another one, I would be done. And so they got the Mark Kelso helmet. I never had one after it, which I'm very grateful for. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I was called by a couple of attorneys about the NCAA and concussions and everything like that. And my thing is, you know, I kind of love what's going on with college football, and I know a lot of people don't, but You know, with the NIL situations and the type of things that these kids are able to get, I think it's very fair. We live in a capitalist country, and if people want to do it, and I know that because I see both sides, and, you know, the NCAA, they should have been moving on a lot of that stuff a long time ago. And, you know, when an attorney called and they had this, I said, I will join it, you know, hoping to get some change for former players down the road, because Tony, we all know some former players in college, they didn't make it to pros. And,
yes.
And you know, they're getting knee replacements. They you know, their bodies aren't what they used to be. And, you know, there is no retribution. You know, I mean, there's no, like the NFL does a great thing where they get health insurance and they pay that way. So it's like, you know, with all the money that college football generates, you know, I thought, okay, this is a way where you can start to get change with the athletes and the, doing it. So I agreed to it. And concussions are still an unknown, and they do affect every person differently, you know. And the one thing I do know, once you have your first one, it's going to be easier to have your second and third, you know.
Now, hold on, Chris. Chris, hold on because, right there. You, Chris, yeah. Hold on right there. You said once you have your first one, the second and third becomes easy. Now, and when you speak about that, now people are starting to see how Tua in his situation is becoming easier and easier for him to have concussions. Because the hit that this last concussion play, it wasn't really a hard hit, Chris. So people are trying to wrap their hands around that.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, that didn't seem like a huge hit. Like the ones he had before where he landed on the back and you could tell that was pretty bad. And he landed on the back of his head, hit the ground really hard. This one wasn't that big of a deal. And, you know, so, but you know what? What an unbelievable individual Tua is. I wish him the absolute best. Any decision that he makes, it's on his own, because we're all athletes and nobody wants to walk away. I love football, you know, and football is one of the greatest team sports there is. And it's the best thing for young men to grow and learn how to communicate with one another and get along and be in the trenches with. There's nothing like it. I would never go back and say I'm not going to play. But, you know, this here, after seeing that, you know, I want what's best for Tua. Who knows? The doctors, I'm not a doctor, but, you know, retirement should be one of the options, right? And, you know, because the brain is still unknown, You know, they always say when you have a concussion, it lasts for a lot longer and your brain is bruised. So, you know, and anytime you see, you know, like you played that soundbite, his concussions are neurological easily.
Hold on, Chris. Thomas, play that soundbite back for those that are just joining the Tony Sands Show, and we're talking with Chris Powell, and we're talking concussions in light of what just took place with Tua again. So we're talking with him. Chris is the first guy to sue the NCAA when it comes to concussions. But let's, Thomas, play that Elijah Moore soundbite.
Elijah Moore went down tonight with a scary traumatic brain injury or concussion that led to an immediate post-traumatic seizure. Let's break this down with an intention to raise awareness for seizure safety. The injury occurs when the front of Moore's helmet is driven into the ground. This jarring causes physical damage to brain tissue, leading to stretching and tearing of neuronal structures, and sometimes can include blood vessels. This triggers an uncontrollable depolarization or firing and release of excitatory neurotransmitters throughout the brain. This surge of electricity is causing the output we see with Moore's arm muscles trembling. Sure. In this.
We can, now, Chris, when we look at that, and like you say, that's neurological, what was it about your concussions that led you to pursuing, you know, going at the NCAA? What was it about your concussions that you said, hey, listen, there's something going on here, something got to be done? What led to that?
Just the unknown and the unknown in the future, right? I want to be very clear. There was never any money exchanged whatsoever. I didn't do it for the money. I did it for the sport of football because I think there needs to be more studies. And you know how it is, Tony. It's weird how you see certain hits and people get concussions. Then you see the biggest hits. I remember Mo Douglas, you know, he would run through there. Yeah. Helmet on helmet and, you know, be fine, you know? So I think it's, there's such an unknown and, you know, is there something else that's a part of it? I don't know, but I got into it cause I'm like, there is the unknown. And if they could set it, and there was things done for it to where any former players, if they have issues with their head later in life, cause you're talking down the road, you know, luckily for me, I don't feel like I've, you know, I know my speech isn't as good as it once was, but that could just be because I'm going to be 52 years old, but we don't know. And we still don't know. And so there's got to be something for players. Now they can go and they can get checked out and seeing if they're okay and doing some, maybe getting ahead of something, a problem in the future. So
Chris, what you mean
made
by
me do it was for the what?
What you mean by getting checked out? They can go get checked out. How can they?
Because they, like if somebody's had if somebody played Division I football or college football, and they're starting to have issues, and they want to go see and get looked at. They're okay. Now, you know, I don't know what the years. You can look up the law. That's what came of that lawsuit. Now, former players can get a, you know, a free look at, okay, is there anything wrong and get, you know, if there's anything to be diagnosed. That's kind of what came of it. And also, you know, they've gotten smarter on the practices and not as much hitting, you know, because that's, I mean, we all love to hit. High school, I went to an all-boy Jesuits, we hardly ever hit. And I kind of like that approach because in the game, we couldn't wait to hit. So we were, you know, it made us a lot more physical. But, you know, there's been – now you see them also using those extra pads on the helmet in practice. Yes. So a lot of good stuff happened with this. And I'm not somebody who sues. I'm not somebody who's looking for money. I've never received $1, and I got a lot of hate stuff because I love the sport of football. And I'm not – and a lot of people think, oh, doing that – you're trying. No, I love the game of football. College football is a multi-billion-dollar industry. Correct. You know, we have these unbelievable universities with all these medical facilities. Do research and figure out what is the truth. What if there's just people with certain DNA can get concussions? We don't know, but we do have these great universities that are making a lot of money off of athletics. let's do a little study and research and figure it out. Because what if you're one of those individuals that, okay, they find out something crazy, and again, I'm not a doctor, but you never know. What if your DNA or this, you have this chromosome or whatever it is, and you have this or that, that's why you got concussions. You don't know. So now people are looking into it, and we don't know what the future holds, you know. And every, you know, I'm blessed for life. I'm blessed for my wife, my kids, being able to play the University of Kansas, because I love that school more than anything. And, you know, so it's tough to see. And all players know that this happens, and they're all aware of it. And there's people after playing, and, you know, they're like, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, and, you know, it's just awareness. Like anything, it's awareness.
And Chris, you talk about hate mail. What was some of the hate mail that you was getting?
Well, they were just saying, you know, there's any time when it made the paper, then all the just responses, and everybody wanted to, you know, make a big deal out of it because it was a big deal. There was just a lot of just negative, like, you don't like football, or, you know, all of it was wrong. Because, it, you know, I think when it first came out, it made it sound like we're, you know, these people are going for money. I didn't receive $1 at all, and I knew I wasn't going to. But I wanted to help make change for the players in college sports, you
Correct.
Know, because it's great. Scholarship's awesome, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, if you get – there's a lot of people – you look at our good friend, you know, there's people that after they get done playing, they can barely walk. They can barely do that.
Right.
You know, there's no, they didn't make the NFL. There is no nothing for the future. So, you know, our life expectancy and everything's a little bit different. So if there's things that they can put in place that are going to help former players, I'm all for it.
And Chris, man, listen. Thank you for the effort that you put in, the time that you put in your life to help me. But not only that, but to think enough of other players that are playing the game and the young ones that are playing the game, to where now a guy like myself, anybody that's playing the game of football, can go and get and see if there's something wrong with it. We know when we talk about concussions, the first thing come up is the word CTE. And as they say, we don't know if we can, you know, do we have it or don't we have it? We won't know until later on, and, you know, if you die off at that point. But, man, listen, thank you for taking time out your day. Thank you for just, you know, being you and understanding how important this is. And those that sent you hate message, I don't know why they would do anything like that, which is crazy. So thank you for taking the time out, man, joining the Tony Sands Show.
You're very welcome, Tony. And you know what? We're on this world to serve others, and that's all that we're here for. So,
thank you, my brother.
Great talking to you. And I got to tell everybody, best leader. Tony Sands is one of the best leaders you'll ever know.
Thank you, my brother.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you, my brother. We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. That was my main – listen, that guy blocked for me, did everything. And he led the way again in this concussion era that everybody must understand. Now to our young kids that are playing, make sure you listen to the signs. A lot of people don't want to deal with this part because it makes them feel like people are taking them away from football. That's not what is taking place. We're using this to be smart in the game of football. Now, what we're going to do, guys, listen, we're getting into a whole nother. We're going to go to a commercial break. We're going to come back on the other side of this commercial break. And I'm bringing the guy that's going to give you the insight. There's not many people that can give you this insight on what Puffy is dealing with at this moment in the facility that he's dealing with. If you've been following this Puff Daddy situation and everything, he's housed in MDC, Metropolitan Detention Center, which is a rough place, Nevin Shapiro is going to be joining the show, guys. For those that don't know Nevin Shapiro, when we come back after this commercial break, my man Thomas is going to play who Nevin Shapiro is And then we bring a Nev onto the show, my brother.
That's how you train like a beast. Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No, no, no. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No, no, no. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top.
The coronavirus pandemic in America has led to some at-risk prisoners being released from jail. One of them is a familiar name to University of Miami sports fans. CBS 4's Steve Goldstein is in our newsroom with the latest chapter in the story of former Hurricanes booster Nevin Shapiro. Steve.
Well, Lauren, Nevin Shapiro is now serving his prison sentence in home confinement. You may be thinking, I remember that name. He was the former Miami booster and Ponzi scheme organizer, and the story reads like a movie script. In 2010, Shapiro was busted, found guilty of money laundering, securities fraud, and stealing money in a nearly billion-dollar Ponzi scheme. A year later, an investigation by Yahoo Sports revealed the boastful Shapiro's involvement with the University of Miami for about a decade.
Listen, without further ado, guys, we've been to get deep into this, you know, give us some insight on what's going on in the mind of P. Diddy from someone that has experienced this. Not only that, but been in the same facility that P. Diddy is being housed in at this moment. Without further ado, let's bring Nevin Shapiro. Nevin, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, Tony. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great, my brother. How you doing?
Life's a dream. I'm in a better situation, and I'm in a better spot than Puffy, I can tell you that.
Listen, man, let's dive right into it, because we're looking at this play out. And the way it is being played out, like I said, the feds indicted him, and they're hitting him with the RICO Act. Walk us through a little bit of your situation, how your situation mirrors P. Diddy's situation, and some of the things that we think that you would know that P. Diddy is probably dealing with at this moment.
Well, first of all, two totally separate crimes. Let's just start there. But when the feds first came at me, they came at me with RICO Act. And what that is really, that's them putting that's really just drawing a line in the sand, Tony. Like, we're coming hard for you. Like, that's what that means. Like, we're looking at 25 years plus. Like, that's the statement that's made initially by them charging someone with RICO Act. And that was put in place for the mob back in the 60s by Robert Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's brother, when he was the attorney general. But anyway, the biggest issue for Puffy, honestly, is that he's stuck in a hellhole. And I mean a hellhole. And he's got one person to talk to, God. That's it. The officers are the only people he's going to see, and that's to serve him meals three times a day. And they'll probably do 15-minute search checks walking by, because obviously, you know, Jeffrey Epstein had that situation, and that was in the same exact tier. I was on that tier, that exact tier.
Now,
and it's hell.
Now, walk me through what that tier, describe what that tier looks like for those that are listening to the Tony Sands Show. Describe what that looks like.
Just a, it's like a dog kennel.
How big is the cell? How big is that cell, you think?
You got a lower bunk and a top bunk. He's probably by himself. I'm probably a hunting. Yeah, he's got to be by himself. And it, like, you got a toilet, you got a sink, and it's just disgusting, man. It's just it's not even human life. Like, it's terrible. And I had done 6 months in the shoe. So I was actually in a situation like that for 6 months. And let me just tell you something. You get close to God, man. And if you can get through that, there's nothing on this earth you can't handle. That's how bad it is.
when you walked into this, when you walked into this prison, because like you said, you know, Puffy walking into this, is what you think when you saw that the judge denied, what was going, when you saw that the judge denied his bail the second time?
His life's over, Tony.
It,
Puff Daddy, the memory. I'm just telling you, man, he, like, it's that serious. Like, it's that serious. I told yesterday, you know, if you've been seeing those little
blurbs,
you know, and I'm really just doing that, honestly, because people don't know what that situation is. No one should know what it is. You know what I mean? You got to be a very select few, not in a good way, to end up in that type of situation. And, you know, the fact that I'm here talking to you right now is like, you know, I give all my praise to God that I'm even here talking to you about it. But it is so bad. And I told, you know, I had mentioned yesterday on my, you know, on my post that, like, this guy's entire life is on the line at 3:30 p.m. with what that judge decides. And it's lights out, man. Like, I'm not convicting him. I don't know if he's innocent or if he's guilty. I don't know. And I don't have a dog in the fight. So I'm not, like, cheering against them or cheering for them. Like, I've already been through my journey with these people, man. I know what they do. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a believer. You understand? yeah, man, this guy's, he's staring into the abyss, man. Death is a better option than what he's with right now.
Would he have been able to deal with this situation a lot better if he had got a bill and was able to fight on the outside versus
God. It's not even close, Tony. Like, things that you take for granted, like, okay, you guys just set up the call to call me, right?
Correct.
It would take him a full day to do what you just did in 2 seconds.
Why is that though? What's the
procedure? You got no access to phones. You're begging a cop for a call. I mean, it's miserable. You're a trapped slave prisoner. That's what you
are. I'm in that place because I've been reading about it lately, about the deaths, just that, how this place, it was a warehouse at one point, and then they reconstructed, I guess they built it for a prison. And they talked about a lot how lights went out and things of that nature.
Yeah.
How much contact on that floor do people have?
How much contact do people
say? Do you have? You say there's no contact with humans outside of the guards that come to bring you food?
That's it. That's it. And if they got it, like, for example, and I said this earlier on one of my posts today or yesterday, I don't remember. When his attorney is going to come to the prison, it's going to be like him going to Disney World because he gets to get out of that cell.
Wow.
It's terrible. Man. Just think about your worst nightmare and then multiply it by 100. That's what that is.
Wow.
It's terrible. Man. There's no, listen, there, and I don't, listen, people, could, whatever your opinions are of me, what anyone has to say, this and that, let me tell you something. I'm one of maybe less than 20 people, I think, that are even alive that can talk, that have made it out of that tier to talk about it. Because everyone else goes away for long periods of time. Like, they don't get out. that's it. Epstein died. Ghislaine Maxwell's she's away for 20 years. I mean, Al Chapo, you're never going to see him again. I mean, it's like the last step to death.
And when you talked about Maxwell, you talked about El Chapo. So these are some of the people that are being housed at that facility?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's here.
Wow.
Yeah.
So those,
and
like
me.
You say, and when they took you to this facility, because you was at
I was in Newark. Here's what happened. I was in Newark. My case is out of Newark, New Jersey. So I was in Hudson County Correctional. They call it the Green Monster, is what that's the term for it. So once I got sentenced, then they ship you to Brooklyn. Brooklyn's like the transit hub. So I was in Brooklyn for 8 weeks. And upon me leaving Brooklyn, I was in Atlanta, and that's when the whole University of Miami story dropped. So I went from Brooklyn to that. And so, like, I was just in the middle of, I was just like stuck without a home, basically. But yeah, Brooklyn's just a dirty, nasty old place, man. Just disgusting. There's it's inhumane. And now, if he was in general population, he'd be okay. Because, I mean, listen, when I say okay, it's prison. But right. he'd be functional. You know, you could watch TV, you could get on the email, you know, you got like, you know, basic privileges. But where he is, he's on 23-hour lockdown. He gets an hour for recreation. So they're going to knock on his door at 6 a.m. and they're going to be like, doom, doom, Combs, because they're not calling him Puffy. Combs, you going to rec? Yes, no. It's yes or no. If you're going, be ready in like 10 minutes. If it's no, they'll knock on your door tomorrow, 24 hours later, and ask you the same question.
So if he doesn't go to rec that day, he don't see rec until the next 24 hours.
That's right. Yeah, you're not like, you know, you're not like picking and choosing. Like, yeah, I think I'm going to go outside and take a walk. No, that's it. It's a wrap, man.
So, and as we see lately, within the last couple hours or so, they're saying about P. Diddy, and they're mentioning suicide and, you know, Diddy's incarceration could pose a suicide risk.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's a very sensitive situation now. And it's not just with him. It's with anyone that's in that situation. He's just very, it's a highlighted situation because, you know, he's obviously a big celebrity, but
correct.
Yeah, they're going to be all over him, and like, they'll keep the lights on all night, and they're not going to let him go out. And now the fact of what happened with Epstein, you can only imagine what the scrutiny is going to be like. Who's going to have that blood on their hands if something happens to him? Nobody. So they're going to be really on top of him.
So they're going to watch him up and down.
24/7.
And you don't have to go to the bathroom because you said the bathroom is
no,
actually...
No, you got a toilet in the room, man. There's no going to the bathroom. He's getting 3 showers a week. That's it.
3 showers a week?
A week.
Wow. No, and I can see why. I can see why he was putting up his mansion here in Miami, some of his jets, hopefully to get a chance to get out.
Tony, I would have put up my mansion and your mansion. And, man, you got to put up as many. Man, there's no price you wouldn't pay, man.
Yes, for that, man.
He's one step away, man, from hell. Man, he's not even a hat. He's not even a step. He's about 8 inches from it. It's that bad.
And is it tougher when you've lived, you know, that luxurious life outside? Then you go in and now you're stripped of everything. Does that make it tougher?
I mean, listen, I left Miami Beach. You know, I lived on North Bay Road. So I left Miami Beach and I was, you know, I went from, you know, 2 housekeepers to doom, 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 electric locks, you know, like in a matter of like lickety, you know what I mean? So like it was just over. Yeah, man, it's culture shock. You don't even know where you are. This guy don't even know who he is right now. I promise you. You don't have a clue. He's floating above his body, looking down at his body right now as we're talking.
And
like,
a lot of people,
reality, man.
And in this process, we'll talk about they kept him in. He wanted to turn himself in, but they would not. From what his attorney is saying, that they would not allow him an opportunity to turn himself in because I guess would he have been able to ask for a more easy ask for a bail because he turned himself in, but the lawyer said they thought no.
See, listen, when you're, you know, Tony, when you're fighting these guys on the other side, you know, you're fighting some real evil, man. You know what I mean? Like you're fighting some evil. Like I'm talking like evil, like spiritual evil that you can't even see. That's how evil it is. You know what I mean? And like when they, you know, and, you know, people aren't supposed to really know, you know, and I know, cause obviously I got my situation without getting into it, but you know, when people see an arrest, they don't know what's behind the scene. He's going through right now, Tony, it's going to take him. These next 2 years are going to feel like no joke, 200 years to this guy. He's going to age. You watch, you'll see 2 years from now, you'll see him coming out. He's going to have gray. I'm telling you, it's just going to change, man. It's the mental torment of where he is, the unknown. you don't know what your time's going to be. Am I going to go away for 10 years? Am I going to go away for 40 years? Am I going to go away for 15 years? He's not going to see the light of day. That's my opinion.
And they're saying that they may drag this out. They say this may be drug.
They're gonna, listen, it's in his, see now, like it's a real, this is a chess match when you get into these situations. Like I found out, man, it's a chess match. So if he would have gotten out, follow this theory I'm about to tell you, and this is real. Had he gotten out, he could have delayed this trial, postponements, the attorney's sick, someone's sick, and you could just push and push and push. You could have pushed this thing 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. Now that he can't get out, now the strategy's the other way. Now he wants to get moving yesterday.
Yeah.
As opposed to where he's trying to push and push and push for delays. Now he don't want delays. Now he wants like speedy trial because he's going to die inside that place mentally.
Wow.
You understand? So the whole strategy flips. And they know what they're doing. They're, you know, when you see that indictment, like Nevin Shapiro versus the United States, it's you versus a country, man. Like, that's it. They're house money. You can't win. You can't win, man. You can't win. Like, and my story is going to inevitably come out. I'm not going to get into my stuff.
Right. Yeah.
No, man, listen. Like they can say, all right, just say that you killed these five people. But what do you mean? I wasn't even near the gun. I was just say you killed these five people. Man, you're so desperate inside there, you'll say anything.
Correct.
So people think, well, he pled guilty, this and that. Yeah, so would you if you had three guns in your mouth.
Wow.
That's what they do. It's like negotiating with terrorists.
And when you saw his home, when we saw both his homes getting raided simultaneously, at that point, you know, there were people saying, they ain't got nothing. They ain't going to do nothing.
Listen, Tony, they're not spending the taxpayer money to go shake down to Homeland Security, no less, shake down two houses on two separate coasts.
Correct.
And not get what they want. Those same people believe in Santa Claus.
I'm gonna play the sound bite. Do me a favor, Thomas, play the U.S. New York Sean Combs in jail. Play that sound bite so those that are just joining the Tony Sands show can get a feel of what they're saying about the MDC. And Nevin is telling us. So I want to let them hear it also from one of the news outlets about where Sean Combs is being housed.
John Diddy Combs is locked up in a federal jail that has been plagued by harsh conditions and violence. The Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn has seen multiple deaths in recent years. An inmate was stabbed to death in July, and several others have died by suicide. It's these reasons, among others, that Combs' lawyers are fighting to get him out of there. They want him released on bail rather than being kept in jail while he awaits trial on sex trafficking charges. Combs is just the latest high-profile defendant to be locked up at MDC Brooklyn. Before him, there were R. Kelly, Elaine Maxwell, and crypto scammer Sam Bankman-Fried. Maxwell complained about her treatment at the facility, which included round-the-clock checks in the wake of her associate Jeffrey Epstein's jail suicide. A few years ago, a week-long power outage in the dead of winter left detainees in drab, cold conditions.
Can you imagine, and I'm trying to visualize this, as they say, the power went out. You would think that person say, well, they're going to move. They'll move the inmates. But obviously, they never moved them.
Listen, interestingly enough, when I was there, and I was there in 2011, right? So I happened to be walking because they were doing something with one of the buildings. So we were walking through like the dungeon basement areas of separating the two buildings. And Tony, when I tell you, man, this was like prehistoric, like 1600s. That's what it felt like. I was walking through, man. Like I was like, yo, hey man, hold on to my hand, man. It was scary, man. Like it was just that bad, man. It was that bad. I'm not lying, man. I'm not making this up. They should blow the whole joint down. I mean, it's decrepit. I don't even know how to put human beings in there.
They're saying certain federal judges won't even send some of their clients. That if you hear that, that's it. Thomas, can you continue to play that soundbite? Continue to play that soundbite right now.
Prisons for status updates and implored the agency to fix things. One judge even refused to send some defendants to the jail. For now, Combs is one of about 1,200 people locked up at MDC Brooklyn. He's the highest profile detainee at a place that's been described as hell on earth.
We're hearing this, but you live. So it's a little, listen, I'm just trying to even grasp myself of what he is thinking this day after his bail was denied and you have to go back to that prison.
So let me ask you something, Tony. Your radio show is what's the length of the show?
Time. An hour.
An hour. Okay, listen. That hour that he's sitting there is about 8 hours.
Wow.
You understand? The psychology. People think, you know, like, look, prison, depending where you go and whatever, prison's a rough setup. You know what I mean? Like some people go to camps and, you know, it's like, you know, going to, like, you know, play tennis and whatever it is. But then there's the other side that people don't see. So the whole thing is not, you know, like fight and all these things. And, you know, anything can happen at any time. That's for sure. Right. But the real issue is this is a mental situation. Like prison time's mental. It's really, it's psychological. It's not about physical. It's about psychological. And some people can handle it. And some people can't. And that's why people check out. And it's, you know, he's in a bad spot, man. He's in a bad spot physically, and he's in a bad spot mentally. He's in a really no-win situation.
So he's fighting for his life, but he's fighting for his life on their side versus he was on the outside.
That's right. That's right. That's right. The difference between fighting from home and fighting in there.
Yes.
It's a million miles away. Like, look into the sky right now and you see stars. That's how far away it is. That's the difference.
From society.
From fighting from home, from your house, or defending yourself from where he is. What's going to happen is his attorney is going to come see him. And these are very serious conversations that have to be had, right? Because you're talking strategy and whatever it is, you know what I mean? Whatever, you know, how it applies to his case and the details, right? And the discovery that he's going to get. So what's going to happen is his attorney is going to be, like, locked in on the facts and this and that. There's no way he's going to be there mentally all the way because he's just mentally just getting pounded, being sitting in a room for 24 hours. You understand what I'm saying? So he's got to be focusing, but how can you focus when you're just sitting there, like, looking at the paint for 24 hours?
So you're saying when he's
there's no way for you to really focus on your case. I went through it. I know what it's like.
So for that instance, you've checked out of the case because of this situation and the conditions that you are placed in, because like you said, when your attorney,
that's what they do, man. That's why they don't want you getting out on bail, because they know you're going to cave. They know you're going to cave.
Yeah. You say cave. Do you think they're trying to make him cave for something else, or do they just want him to cave?
So I have my theories. Listen, I have my own personal theory on what I think is going on.
Uh-huh.
And I got a feeling they're going to be coming at home. See, what's going to really happen is you don't know who these witnesses are going to be, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of celebrities, and I'm not going to mention names because I did the other day. I really shouldn't have. I was just using them as an example. But anyway, so you got to know who he's been around and who's been in his orbit, business-wise, socially, whatever. And I promise you, everybody's lawyered up already, because the feds are going to step on them, and they're going to be like, listen, you're going to talk or you're joining him. That's how they play. That's their blueprint. That's their book. That's their playbook. And, you know what happens.
Do you see does his circle start dwindling down now that he's in this situation?
100%. He's going to find out who's his real people now. I thought I was the mayor of Miami till I went away.
And
I was a lonely, and I was alone. Then I was a lonely mayor.
Now, when you talk about, like you say, people don't realize. You say, you know, you was the mayor of Miami. That, explain what that to some of our audience, because they, you know, they ain't got no mayor.
Yeah, well, what I meant is, you know, Thomas,
yes, yes, that's
know,
what I'm saying.
I was a popular guy. I wasn't running for mayor, obviously, but I was, you know, yeah, I was a very popular guy. I had a lot of friends, and I thought, like, everybody loved me and this and that, and well, you find out who really loves you when yeah. you go there. You know what I'm saying? Like, your 1,000 friends become like five quick, you know? And that's what I really meant when I said that, you know, sports.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I knew what you meant, but you know how, you know,
yeah. It's like me drinking my own Kool-Aid, you know what I'm saying? And so you just, you know, you find out who you really got. He's going to find out now who's always been real and who hasn't been. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's a lot of silence out there. There's crickets. You know what I mean? Everyone, no one's talking. No one's saying anything because no one knows who's getting called.
And that's, like you said, because you experienced that. You didn't know who was getting called in on your situation. They was getting called in. But when we look at the University of Miami situation, you said even in
that's
that.
That's a great example. Yeah, that's a great example right there, Tony. Yeah.
You did so much, but then when you went to look at all the paperwork, you started seeing.
It was sprung on me.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly. I mean, listen, I'm going to give you an example real quick for your listeners, right? So he's going to get his discovery. So they're going to, I don't know how they did it. For me, they had it on discs. So, you know, the technology is different now. So I don't know how they do it. But so I'm reading through this stuff. And then when all of a sudden I hit a certain point, like you just mentioned, and I was like, what? So what's going to happen with Puffy is he's going to be looking at things. Then the feds are going to have to provide him with, okay, these are the witnesses that are ready to testify against you. Here comes his Christmas gift. Wow. He's going to open up a present and he's going to find out who's on the other team. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Meaning who's standing on the government side? That's the point. And these may be lifelong friends. Business partners, associate, who knows? And, you know, I can imagine his ex-girlfriend, Cassie, the one he beat up in that video and got a settlement. I guarantee you she's a witness. And I guarantee
you. Yeah, because they're using her.
They're using her whole civil lawsuit as the play-by-play. Yeah.
When we talk, and like you say, they came after you with the RICO and they got Puffy. When they use the RICO, what does that open them up to? When it comes to situations such as this,
what is it? Rephrase the question.
When they say, okay, we're coming at, we're charging you with the RICO Act, with racketeering.
Well, that charge in itself has got a maximum. It's got a mandatory minimum. Like I believe 20 years is the low end on a RICO charge. Is the low end. So everything's done with sentencing guidelines in the Fed. It's way different than state. And when they when they indict you in the feds, they basically already have the evidence. In the state, they start investigating. And in the Fed, they've already gone to the grand jury and they said, is there enough to indict him? Yes, we see plenty here. Boom, you're indicted. And then now you got to prove that you're not guilty.
Okay.
And in his case, it's very, very difficult because he's already guilty in the eyes of the public, right?
Yes.
And I'm not, and I have no position in this, like, just to be clear. I don't have any position. I don't know. I haven't seen any. I read his indictment, and just for my own edification. And it doesn't look good, but that doesn't mean that they don't lie either, the right. other side. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
Like, let me keep it a buck. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
They're gonna get their signal. They want their pound of flesh, and so they'll fight and do whatever they have to do to get it. And he's in a very, very unattainable situation right now.
And right now, like you said, it's more going to be with him. Now it's going to be more. Now it's going to be that mental part of him that's going to get attacked within by being.
He's in his own personal war, Tony. This has nothing to do with the law. He's in a state of insanity right now. Wow. And if, you know, and let me make another point. So, and this is only based on reports. So they said he has drug issues and, you know, that's been mentioned a few times and this and that. If in fact he does have some kind of substance problem, mm-hmm. let me just tell you something. His cold turkey inside there is the worst anxiety you can have before just having a heart attack.
Wow.
And I know because I was on anxiety medication before I went in. And that stopped when I was in there. And the feeling is just...
Wow.
So many unknowns, and people just don't know what it really is. Not that you should ever know, because it's terrible. But it's not just like, yeah, he's locked up. No. This guy's in the middle of a mental war with himself right now. And it's terrible.
Now, because one of my listeners I had put in there, there was, you know... Anthony Adams, he has said clearly the charge, the overcharge, Buffy, the charges don't detail him beating anyone. The prosecutor keep saying beating. Did you, when you was reading over all this, did you see where it may have charged him with beating up anyone, or is it just something, a tactic that
I think if they have that. If they're making those allegations, they're going to have someone that's coming forward. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Have someone that's coming forward. And I'm not saying he did or he did. I don't know.
Right.
But if they're alleging this, mm-hmm. well, now they're going to have to prove it, right?
Correct.
They're going to have to prove it. So the way they're going to prove it is if they have a witness that's going to come forward. And then, of course, Puffy's attorney is going to crush him or her. Up and down, right. And you know, catch them in one lie, and that just ruins their credibility. And that, you know, that's the angle when you go after a witness. And he's, you know, they're just going to load up the barn on this guy, man. They already did, you know, with the charges. That doesn't mean any of these charges are real, but
they're going to have to prove it.
And you know. That's what it is. And this guy's going to, he's relying on, you know, it's not even his courtroom case. It's the weight now. This is going to drag and drag. This is not going to be a quick situation. And I saw his attorney saying, we're going to try and get this moving as fast as we can. And this and that. And like I said to you earlier in the conversation, the whole strategy changes now that he couldn't get out. So he was looking at delay and delay and delay and delay, and now he's looking to get moving, moving, moving. So he just did an about face, right?
Yes.
Like in a basketball game, he went from attacking the rim to playing four corners.
Correct.
Right, vice versa. You know what I mean? And that's it. It's just a total change of strategy, and it's man, he's in a bad place, man, mentally and physically.
Nev, man, hey, listen, thank you for taking time out of your day. To joining the Tony Sands Show. Man, thank you. I can't thank you enough for giving my audience an inside look and an insight on what Puffy could possibly be going through in this process, man. Thank you for that. Thank you for joining me.
No problem, Tony.
Thank you, my brother.
Nothing but love, kid. You know how it is.
Love. Most definitely. Most definitely. You know it. Nothing but love,
all
man.
Right. All right,
take it easy.
One, Tony.
You too, buddy. All right. Listen, guys, and as we're in closing here on the Tony Sands Show, that was Nevin Shapiro. And like I said, he was giving you an insight. If you can't get it any better when you are getting expert advice. When they come, as he state, they're coming. When they raided those houses, some people thought that they wasn't coming. They were coming. They didn't waste taxpayers' money not to be coming at that level. We're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show. Thanks. Each and every person that joined the Tony Sands Show to listen to the inside, it is a great time when it comes to sports and life. They mirror each other.